Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, I have a friend who has one of the most distinctive voices of anyone that I know. But every single time that she calls me or anyone else on the phone, she introduces herself. And you know within the first millisecond that it is her because of her voice. But nevertheless, every time she calls, she tells you who she is. And I guess I appreciate that about her. I know that it's frustrating and unsettling and that kind of thing when someone just calls you and they just start talking to you and you don't know who they are. You don't recognize the voice. You don't know what they're talking about. And so you don't know how to respond and you don't know how to act and you don't know how to say, because knowing who you're talking to really does make a difference. And the same is true in prayer. And so today we're going to ask the question, just who do we think we're talking to? Just who are we talking to when we pray? We are talking to a very, very good God. If you have an outline with you, we're going to fill something in the first sentence of the sermon, and that is that your understanding of who God is and what He is like shapes everything in your life, especially your prayer life. Our understanding of who God is and what He is like, just who do we think that we are talking to, it makes an incredible difference in your prayers when you know who you are talking to and you know what He is like. A Christian writer from the last century named A.W. Tozier, who was very influential. If you've never heard of him, you've heard of people that he was very influential in their lives. And he said, "What comes to mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you." Wow. A lot of folks are telling you what's important and what's important about you, but I love this thought that what you think about God is the most important thing about you because it affects everything else in your life. I think he's right about that, and I'm so glad to be presenting this lesson in our 40 days of prayer. Who is this God that we're praying to? What do you think about when you think about Him? It has a huge impact on your prayer life because a lot of folks have some really serious misconceptions about God. And we get our misconceptions from all kinds of places. We're not going to go into that right now, but a lot of folks have misconceptions about God. Some folks think God is the grumpy old man, and He's just kind of cantankerous and difficult to get along with, and He's grouchy all the time. You never can please Him. There's folks out there who that's what they think of when they think about God. Do you think that affects their prayer life? Absolutely. Some folks think of God as the crouching tiger God, who is just hiding in the shadows, waiting for you to make one false move so He can jump and He can get you. That's what folks think about God, and it affects the way they pray. Some folks think of God as the flaky father. I had not heard of this one before. The flaky father, that He's just kind of moody, and it's really hard to understand Him or know what He wants. Some folks think of God as the cosmic cop who is watching you. When I was a kid, we sang a song called "The All-Seeing Eye is Watching You." And they think He's the cosmic cop and He's watching you and He's just waiting behind the billboard so when you come by and you're speeding, He can get you. That's what they think about it. It affects their prayer life. Some folks think of God as the Santa Claus God, and that may be a good conception, but what I mean here is they think He's making the list and He's checking it twice and He's going to find out if you're naughty or you're nice. And what we think about God says a whole lot about ourselves, and it says a whole lot about our prayer life and the way that we pray. And so the question is, what is God like? And my goodness, we could start a sermon series now that would never, ever end as we talk about what God is like. And I love the songs that Wendell picked for us today that sang about the fact that God is holy. But especially, we want to focus today, if we just got to pick one thing to focus on today, we're going to talk about the fact that God is good. Because I think it'll make a big difference in your prayer life as you grow in your prayers. God is good. If you want to know what God's like, though, If you're really serious, you want to know what is God like, here's what I want to encourage you to do. More than anything else in the world, look at Jesus. Because Jesus is the exact representation of God. He is the image, the visible image of the invisible God. That's what the Holy Spirit tells us about Jesus. If you ever, ever want to know what God is like, you look at Jesus. And Jesus was good because God is good. And if he isn't good, it really makes me wonder why we even pray. If he isn't good, why would we even pray? Some people ask, probably a very often asked question of preachers, and you may have had the question asked too in conversations, and that is, why is there so much evil in the world? That's what people want to know. Why is there so much evil in the world? And for me, my simple answer, and it's not a sarcastic answer, is the reason there is so much evil in the world is because you and I are in the world. And people bring evil into the world. God, who is good, made us in his image to be good, but he gave us the choice to be however we wanted to be. He does not create robots who do on command what he says. He gave us the ability to choose. And most of the time, people in the world, throughout history, and you and I still today, we choose things that cause evil. We make bad decisions that bring bad consequences into the world. Really, the question that folks should be asking is, in this world, how is there anything that is good? Because with the devil involved in the world and with you and I involved in the world, really, how in the world is there anything that is good? And the answer is because there is God. Because you cannot spell good without spelling God. Everything. It's the passage that we read this morning from James. Everything that is good and perfect in this world has come to us through our Father who is good. There would be nothing good in the world if it weren't for God. You and I would not be able to produce good on our own. Everything that is good has its source, its beginning in the very nature and DNA of God. Psalm 100 verse 5 says this, "The Lord is always good." They didn't have to put that word in there, always, did they? But the Holy Spirit decided to. The Lord is always good. He is always loving and kind, and his faithfulness goes on and on to each succeeding generation. And so when we think about our prayer and we think about just who it is that we are talking to, what are some of the implications that we can draw from that because God is good? And so we're just going to go through a few of those this morning. Because God is always good, God's plans for my life will always be good. I'm trying not to stare at any of you, but I'm looking at some folks right now who I know and love, who I know some of the stuff you're going through. And I know that you would say right here and now, if it weren't for your faith in God, you would really question whether his plans are always good. Because some folks are going through some hard stuff. But God's plans for my life are always good. And that's true because, again, it's his very nature. It's the core of his being. He is good, and therefore his plans for my life are good. And we're going to go to probably one of the most famous verses in the Bible. It gets used a lot because of what it says that is so good. Jeremiah 29:11, "I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. My plans will give you a hope and a good future. And when you call to me and you pray, I will listen to you." God has a plan for your life. God has a good plan for your life. And it's good because he is good and because he loves you. David has something to say that connects to this over in Psalm 31. David said, "God, your goodness is so great. You have stored up great blessings for those who honor you." Okay, listen to that verse because it gives us a big clue about God and these good plans. God is good and he has stored up blessings. If you're going to store something up, inherently that means that it is something you have thought about beforehand. And you have planned to have enough of it to store it up. And so God has made plans to store up good things for you. And for all those who call on His name, for all those who honor Him. And we're going to receive the good things that God has stored up for us here in this life. And it's going to be mixed up with a lot of other stuff, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. There's going to come a day when the Lord returns, and everything is going to be perfectly good like God has decided it will be. And in that day, we will just reap the blessings of all these good things that God has stored up for us. But even today, in this life, in this day, God has good plans, and He has good things stored up for those who honor God. And one of the most important ways we honor God is to talk to Him, to pray. And that verse even brings prayer in at the end of the verse. God has good things. He tells us in James that one of the reasons we don't have all the good things He has for us is why? He says we don't ask. And so we can ask God for good things because God has good things stored up for us. Do you get the connection there? That's why we're spending this time on prayer. God has good plans and good things stored up. And He says, all you need to do is ask. And I can just start opening that storehouse and letting those plans and those blessings flow out to you. We pray and He listens. And the more that we pray to God, and the more that we talk to God, and the more that we listen to God, I believe the more we will understand and see the good plans that He has stored up for our life. And someone can and should rightly say, then Ken, what about all of the bad things that are happening in my life? I talked to a friend just the other day. How you doing? And for the next 15 minutes, he legitimately shared with me some really bad things that are going on in their life. Now, because of his faith in the Lord, he ended it by saying, but you know what, Ken? We're good. Because God is good. But folks have bad things going on in their life. What about those bad things? What about the bad things that happen in my life? And a lot of folks blame God for those bad things. But God is good. He said, I don't have plans that are going to harm you. So where did they come from? And the enemy has a lot to do with it. We have an enemy who has set himself against God. And because we have put our faith in Jesus and are washed in His blood, Revelation says that He has set Himself against us. And He has no good plans. All of His plans are to harm. All of His plans are to rob us, to deceive us, to steal from us, and to kill us if He can. And so when we come up against the bad things in life, we too often blame God, and you know what? I think God can handle it. But the enemy has a lot to do with it. And again, just being straight with us, I have a lot to do with the bad things that are happening in my life. I make bad decisions. I make stupid decisions. My thinking is faulty. My heart is deceptive. My mind is cloudy, and I just don't always make the best decisions, and it brings bad consequences into my life. Here is the thing, though, that I love about God the most. And there's a lot of things to love about God, but the more I've meditated on Him and studied Him, the thing I can say I love the most about God is He is able. He is more than able to take every single bad plan and bad decision and bad thing, and He is able to take it and weave it and work it out in such a way that His good plan still happens in my life. I love that about God. Amen. That's what Romans chapter 8 tells us. We know that God causes everything. Even the devil's bad plans, everything. Even my bad plans, everything. Even just stuff that happens in the world that I don't understand or know where the source of it is at all, everything. God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His promise. See, folks, this goodness that God has in Him that I'm talking about right now, it isn't for everyone. It is for those who called on His name. It is for those who are in Jesus Christ. And He'll take the good and the bad and the ugly, and He will just work it out. I heard a great illustration for this. Think about making a cake. Have any of you ever made a cake? Okay. The cake tastes good, doesn't it? Say yes. Yeah, okay. Most of the things, most of the ingredients that go in the cake don't actually taste that good. Anybody ever eaten flour on its own? Doesn't taste that good. Anybody ever had a swig of vanilla extract? It don't taste like vanilla. Yeah, exactly. Ooh. Most of the ingredients that go in a cake don't taste good. Raw eggs. I'm not a big fan of raw eggs. Baking soda, baking powder, oil. I mean, you just go down the list. Besides sugar, there's really not any ingredient that goes in a cake that tastes good on its own. But you mix all those ingredients together, and what do you get? Say it with me. Cake batter. Who loves cake batter? Who loves to lick the bowl? Yes. I love cake batter. How is it that all those ingredients that really on their own are bitter end up into a batter that really tastes better? Okay, didn't you like that? And we can use that in a sermon sometime. Oh, wait a minute, we are. And folks, God, who is so good, will take every bitter ingredient in your life, and He'll make a batter that is just better. Can you hold on in faith to that? Can you walk every day in that truth? Can you hold your head up and face whatever it is that you're facing, that we're facing? And just know that the one you are talking to, the one you are counting on, the one you are resting on is good. He's good. And He has good plans for your life. Okay, number two. Because God is good, He always gives me what I need, not what I deserve. How many of you are wise enough right now to say, that is a good thing? God is good, and therefore, because He's good, He gives me what I need, not what I deserve. Because the reality is, you and I do not want to get what we deserve. We don't. See, there's a danger for those of us who are church folks, who are good church folks. I love good church folks. The world needs more good church folks. But there's a danger for us because we begin to think that we are good. And we compare ourselves to the world and we see and we say, that's not good. But there's something in us that turns in and says, but I'm good because I do less of that or I do different than that. That's dangerous. Jesus told a very specific story about that kind of thinking. And it was a good, arrogant Pharisee who, praying to the Lord, boasted to God about how good he was and didn't say the words, but basically said, God, give me what I deserve. And Jesus was not pleased with that man. Who was he pleased with? He was pleased with the sinner, the guy who knew he was a sinner, who went before God and fell on his knees and cried out, have mercy on me, O God, because I am a sinner. See, God is so good that He doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us what we need. And what we need is mercy. What we need is help. What we need is forgiveness. We could go on and on and on down the list. We don't get what we deserve. Psalm 103 says something about this. He said, He has not treated us as we deserve for our sins, or paid us back for our wrongs. But in His goodness, He has taken our sins away and He has removed them as far as the east is from the west. I love that thought. I love that phrase. I love the song that goes with it. I love that Jesus didn't, or God didn't say that He's taken them as far as the north is from the south. Because you know what? you and I would go find our sins. Because there's a place we could go. There's a North Pole or there's a South Pole. But when he says God's removed them as far as the east is the west, well, I can just keep going and I can keep going and I can keep going and I can go around and around and around and still not figure out where east stops and west starts. God has removed them that far from us. He doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us what we need. I'm so thankful. Here's the thing that even makes God, I mean, if it can be better than good, is that he knew penalty had to be paid. He knew at some point someone had to get what they deserved. So you know what he did? See, God is so good that he puts your goodness, puts what's good for you before he puts what's good for himself. And so he looked at his son Jesus and he said, I want you to go down. And I want you to take what they deserve. That's good. That's good. Jesus gave us what we needed, not what he deserved. And he took all of that sin on himself. Took all that penalty on himself. He took all that evil that was stored up and built up on himself. And he allowed himself to die on a cross. See, we need mercy, and Jesus gives us mercy. But that's not the only thing we get in the bargain. The Holy Spirit says through Paul that he takes our sin. He becomes our sin. He gives us his goodness. He gives us his righteousness, his goodness. So there's good in you. I look at it and I see it. But you know where it came from? It came from the Lord Jesus Christ. I think this is a really good time for us to stop. And let's remember the Lord with the bread and the cup. And let's thank him this morning that in his goodness, he did not give us what we deserve, but he gave us what we needed. He gave us mercy. Would you take the bread and let's pray? Father, we give you thanks. You have commanded us. I've been reading in the Old Testament this week, Lord, from the beginning, there's been something about unleavened bread. Leaven represents sin. And when you had sacrifices that were made to you, they were almost always unleavened. And you've told us to remember the body of Jesus that was broken for us, that the body that took our scars and took our wounds, the body that paid the price. And this bread reminds us of that. And so as we take this morning, we say thank you for giving Jesus what we deserved. Giving us what we needed. Amen. And take the cup. And let's pray again. Father, you have, again, there's something about blood. You said it in the Old Testament when you were describing the sacrifices that were made there, that there, the life is in the blood. And so when the blood is shed, the life is shed. And so when Jesus died, he shed his blood. And that blood has the power to cleanse us and to make us clean and white as snow, free from sin and death. So thank you that Jesus shed his blood. He poured out his blood on the cross. And that through our faith in him, through our baptism in him, through so many ways in our life with him, we are under the blood. We are covered with the blood. And therefore, when you look down on us, you see the blood of Jesus and you see forgiveness. You see Passover. And so we don't get what we deserve, but we get what we need. And so we thank you and remember that at this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Not only does God give us what we need, but He gets us back on track. See, He gets things going again to resume the good plan that He has for us. And I think about David in that instance, and I think about the fact that David, King David, the man after God's own heart, man, he blew it. He blew it big time. He lusted after another man's wife. He acted on it, brought her to him, committed adultery with her, and then went a step further, if that wasn't bad enough, and had the man killed so David could have her. He blew it. But he knew who he was talking to. And in just an act of contrition and throwing himself before God and begging for mercy. That's what he did in Psalm 51. And he cried out, "In your goodness, have mercy on me. Wash me away all my guilt. Make me clean again." And God did that. There were consequences still for the sin that played themselves out. God forgave him. There was not going to be eternal consequences for that sin. And he did it not because David was good. He didn't look at David and say, "Yeah, you deserve this goodness." No, it's because God was good. David knew that. That's how he prayed. And see, God had a really good plan for David's life. It was a plan that impacts you and me in a huge way, because God's plan for David's life was that he was going to bring the Messiah through David's line. And just as David was king, God was going to raise up a king, and his name is Jesus. See, David messed that plan up by taking another man's wife. But God in his goodness, God in his ability to just work everything out, to take all that's bitter and make it better, God actually even used that sinful relationship, and it's through Bathsheba that the Messiah comes into the world. That amazes me. God didn't have to do that, but he did. Because he's not going to let us or anything get in the way of working out the good plan that he has. He's able to do that. He is good. And there's just so many implications for the fact that God is good and how it affects our prayer life. There's no time to cover them all. I want to do one more that I think is, these have been really good, I hope, to help you think about who it is you're talking to. This last one is a lot more practical. And it's this, that God, because God is always good, he does not say yes to every request. Because he's always good, he doesn't say yes to every request. And we've been looking at a lot of scriptures this first week of our 40 days that indicate very clearly that God hears us, God listens to us, God answers us. But he doesn't always answer yes. He's not a vending machine. You don't always get out what you want. Don't always get you what you want for. Because usually when you and I go up to a vending machine, we are not looking for good stuff, are we? We're looking for stuff that tastes good. And we're looking for stuff that makes us lick all the Cheetle off our fingers. We're not looking for good stuff in the vending machine. And God is not a vending machine. He's not going to give us all that junk. He's not going to say yes to that. Because he's good. And I want to give you four things. These aren't original with me, but I really liked them. I think they're helpful. As to why God says yes sometimes and no sometimes and later sometimes and sometimes just flat out no and sometimes kind of like, what are you even thinking asking me that? I hope this is helpful. When the request is not right, God says no. And there are times where you and I just, we ask the wrong thing. It's not because we're trying to. We just don't know half the time. And other half the time, we really want what we shouldn't want. And so when the request isn't right, God says, no, I'm not going to. I'm in my goodness, I'm going to say no to that one because I know what is better for you. When the timing is not right, God says slow. See, sometimes it's not that he says no. It's just that he says slow. This is going to take longer than you think it's going to take. How many of you are in the middle of one of those right now? I know I am. He hears me. He hears you. It's just that the timing is not right. And delay does not mean denial. And no and not yet are not the same thing. Now, we've had Hudson this weekend, and that's been a lot of fun. And he says mo when he means no. We heard mo a lot this weekend. He asked for a lot of things that we have to say, well, not yet, Hudson. Not now, Hudson. But Hudson, in his immaturity, he's a baby. He doesn't know the difference between no and not yet. It all sounds like no to him, right? All he knows is, I want it right now. See, we're immature in our prayer life. We're immature a lot of times in our Christian life. That's why we're doing 40 days of prayer. We're in a season where we're asking God, help us grow up. Ugh, remember that? And so, in our immaturity, we don't always hear the difference between no and not yet. But as we grow in the Lord, we can begin to sense, you know what? It's not, God's not being mean. God's not listening. Just the timing on that is not right. And God's going slow. Sometimes, if I'm not right, God says grow. See, sometimes I'm asking for something and I'm just not ready for it. I'm not right. There are times I have sin in my life that I have not dealt with. I'm not right. God's not going to be able to do the good plan and he wants it to me. Good plan he wants to do in me when I'm like that. Sometimes I'm just not in the right place or I'm not in. There's something that I need to grow in. Not because I'm bad, just because I'm still growing. And so sometimes when I'm not right, God says grow. And here's another way I want you to think about that. Sometimes God needs to let you grow up a little bit before he gives you that thing you're asking for, because it is going to be so much better than you think it is. You're not ready to handle it. Because God does more than we can ask or imagine. And then there are times where, man, the request is right, the timing is right, I'm right, and God just says go. And man, we're off. And those are fun. And that is invigorating. And we can sense God and we can see God. And those are good, good times. But God's good in all of those, right? He's good in all of those. Isaiah 55 reminds us of just who we are talking to. My thoughts are completely different from yours. Is that not an understatement from the Lord God Almighty? My thoughts are completely different from yours, and my ways are far beyond anything that you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. See, folks, the God we're talking to, who is he? He is so far beyond us. We can't even begin to imagine who he is and what he is like. But thanks be to God, he has revealed himself to us in Jesus, in the Word, through the Spirit, in the church, as good. And so there's so many things about God I don't understand, I don't comprehend, I can't get a grasp on, but in faith, and folks, what he's looking for is faith. In faith, I can believe that he is good. And believe that the one I am talking to is good. And so it's important that we talk about this during our 40 days of prayer, because it matters who we're talking to. If I don't know or understand or have some kind of grasp or belief in this one that I am talking to, it really just kills my prayer life. And my prayers become powerless, and they become passionless, and they become pointless. And if I even keep them up, I'm just going through the motions. That's not what he wants. It's not what we want. But on the other hand, if we know, no matter how we're feeling that day, no matter what is going around us that day, if we know that God is good, it'll affect our prayer lives. And they're going to have more power. They're going to have more passion. They're going to have more purpose. That's the kind of prayer life I want to have. It's the kind of prayer life I want for you to have. It's the kind of prayer life you want for yourself and for the people who are around you. Prayers that will explode with power and passion and purpose. and are making a difference in the kingdom of God and making a difference in the world and in the life of our missionaries and in the life of the people we love and in what God is doing. Those are the kind of prayers he wants us to have, the kind of prayers I want to have, that you want to have. And a huge part of it is knowing just who it is we are talking to. So I want you to join me in prayer this week. Because if we're going to know God, there's three things we got to do. If we're going to know who this God is that we're talking to, first of all, we got to pay attention to him, right? If I want to know Joel, well, I got to pay attention to Joel. That's not hard to do, is it? I got to listen to Joel. I got to find out what's interesting in Joel's life. What's going on in Joel? When he's talking to me, I need to listen. So it doesn't matter who you're talking about. If you want to know them, you got to begin by paying attention to them. If you want to know God, you got to pay attention to God. It's what we're doing during our 40 days in a really significant way. The second way that you can know this God that you are talking to is to know his word and to do it. There is something that happens when we obey God. Jesus said that's how he's going to know that we love him, that we remain in him, that we're connected to him. That's how we understand him and begin to know more and more about him is we listen to his word and we do what it says. So we got to pay attention to him. We got to know his word and do what it says. And then the third thing is we just begin to experience who he is. We experience his goodness. And so I want to call us this week to prayer. We're going to pray together three times a day. We're going to pray together at 9 o'clock, at noon, and at 3 o'clock. And everybody can be a part of this. I'm going to talk about how to do it in just a minute. The early church in Acts, we see that they prayed at these times. And I don't have time to go into that, but some other time I can show that to you. But we're going to use Psalm 119, verses 37 and 40, to pray in a very specific way. And the psalm says, Lord, keep me from paying attention to what's worthless. So if we want to know God and who he is and who we're praying to, we got to pay attention to him. So at 9, we're going to pray, God, help me to keep away from paying attention to things that are worthless. The psalm goes on to say, let me live by your word. I want to obey your principles. So at noon, we're going to pray that prayer. God, I want to be in your word. I want to understand it and I want to do it. And then the psalm ends by saying, please renew my life with your goodness. And at 3 o'clock, we're going to pray that part of the psalm. God, would you show me your goodness? Let me experience your goodness. Renew my life with your goodness. Okay, we use a system called Remind that we send out text to the church. That's how we're going to send this out. So you're going to get a text if you're in our Remind system at 9, noon, and 3. If you already get texts from the church, you are in the system. But for some of our college students, for some of our visitors, for extended family who are watching us online that you're not in our system, I want you to be. And so here's what you can do. It should come up on the screen. You can text at TBCOC2 to 81010. So if you don't already receive text from us, you text that right now at TBCOC2 to 81010. And it'll take like 1 minute and a screen's going to come up and let you put in your name. It's then going to ask you if you're a parent, a teacher, or a student. The reason it asks that is that it's mainly schools that use this software. It doesn't matter what you put in for us. So if you've been wanting to be a teacher for a long time, then you just go ahead and put T in there. And it'll then ask you if you want to download the app. You can do that. You don't have to do that. It doesn't matter for us. You'll get the text either way. So I hope that you will be a part of that. And I hope that this week it'll be encouraging to you and it will be helpful to you to know that at 9 o'clock and at noon and at 3 o'clock, your whole church family in unison with one voice and one mind and one heart is approaching God. And we're asking him, God, I want to know who you are. I don't want to pay attention to all this other stuff. I want to pay attention to you. And we're asking him, God, I want to know your word and I want to obey it. And we're asking him, God, would you just renew my life with your goodness? So let's just end by singing this simple song that proclaims, says out loud to the whole spiritual realm, that God is good.